It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table. This is what we call our segment two. It's our daily Bible study that we are able to do right on the radio. What a concept. Our teacher, Connie Stanfill, has blessed us with these wonderful lessons from the Gospel of Mark. So we're going verse by verse, and today is lesson number 47. We've got the notes and the individual recording of this right on our website at naomistable.com. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we are continuing on here in Mark chapter 14. And we're going to find out Jesus is going to predict Peter's denial and how his disciples fall away. And then we have the episode in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prays. So we're getting closer and closer to the cross, but we're finding Jesus is in control. So I will read this first section about Jesus predicting Peter's denial, and we'll talk about it. So we are here in Mark 14, verses 26 to 31. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. Here we find that before Jesus' disciples desert him, he predicts that, he warns them of that. And so I think as their teacher, what he's doing is he's preparing them for the events, the just very chaotic, frightening, sad events that are going to happen in the next several hours. And so as they go through them and as they reflect back on them, they'll realize that he was preparing them and warning them about that. When it says they sang a hymn, it was probably Psalm 118, which was usually done right there at the Passover. And then it says they left where they had celebrated the Passover meal, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said, "You will all fall away." And that Greek word "fall away" is actually skandalolithiskthe, which is the word from which we get the word scandalize. And it really means to take offense and turn away and really fall into sin. And so when it says Jesus tells his disciples they will fall away, it's not just that they're going to fail or desert him, but really in a sense, because of him going to the cross and what's going on, it speaks to the fact that they weren't ready for those events. They couldn't handle what he was going to suffer and die. And so that's why they run. So they turn away and they actually fall into sin because they desert him in his final hours. And it says in scripture, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." And that is predicted. That is in Zechariah. And we have a reference here. It's Zechariah 13:7. God's word says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones." Truly, here Jesus is pointing specifically to the shepherd is going to be struck. He himself will be struck and his sheep will be scattered. But there's hope after that, because in verse 28, Jesus says, "But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And he's telling them, reminding them again that he will die, but he will also rise again. And then he's the teacher, he's the master, he's the one whom they follow. And he says, "I will go before you to Galilee." And here, before these terrible events are going to happen, the next hours in his death and burial and resurrection, he's saying, "It's okay. I'm going to rise again. I will come back. I will lead you again." And so he's already giving them hope about what to do in the future. And then we find in verse 29, Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And so Peter is confident and he thinks that he can stay close to the master and he will not fall away. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice," and here in Mark we have a detail again, "before it crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he, Peter, said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And so the disciples had good intentions, and at this point they were able to say, "Yes, Lord, we'll not deny you, we'll stay with you." But they don't know. They don't know their weakness, and they don't know all what's coming. Thankfully, at this at this time with the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus with us. And so anything we face, we never face alone. We always have him with us. And so may we be faithful, even as they were not at this point. I'm going to next read the section where Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, and we will talk about what he prays and then also the response of his followers at that time. So this is verses 32 to 42. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and actually Gethsemane literally means oil press, and so it's thought to be an olive grove on the Mount of Olives where there was oil press, and obviously this is a place well known to the disciples and to Jesus. It's a place they'd been to before, and we're going to find that Judas knows it very well because he leads the crowd that's coming to arrest Jesus exactly to this place. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Verse 33, and he took with him Peter and James and John. Remember those three that are closest to him. In a sense, they're there as witnesses, but they're also there just as human support in his hour of need. And it says, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And so Mark gives us words that Jesus is alarmed. He's physically distraught in a way we've never seen him before in this gospel. And he is in extreme anguish. And we know from the other gospels that he actually sweat drops of blood. And so this is the most extreme anguish a person could be under. And that's what Jesus is enduring at this point. Verse 34, and he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful or deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and watch." Again, it's that same word, to be alert. And so Jesus is sharing with them his extreme distress, and he's asking them to just be with him and to be alert and to watch and truly also to pray. Verse 35, it says, and going a little further, he fell down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. What's the hour? It's the hour of his suffering and death. And it's not just the physical torment of what he's going to go through. Truly what that hour is, it's the hour of him bearing God's wrath against our sin. Because he goes on and he says, and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." This is the only place in Mark's gospel where Jesus addresses God the Father exactly like this. He says, "Abba," which is an Aramaic term which could mean, could say means daddy, or it definitely means my father. It's a very personal term. So he's saying, "My Father, God the Father, all things are possible for you." He's acknowledging who God is, how God's will is supreme, and God can do anything. He says, "Remove this cup from me." And the question is, what is the cup? We've talked about that before. It's that cup of God's wrath against sin. Throughout the Old Testament, we've heard about the fury of God's wrath and how that's a cup of wine poured out on the wicked. There's a reference in Psalms about that in our study guide. You can look it up. But that's what Jesus is talking about. It's the cup of God's wrath. And then he says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." And so, yes, Jesus in his human state is looking to bearing God's judgment against sin. And he's just saying, "Lord, is there a different way?" But he is willing to do the Father's will. And then it goes on and it says, he says, not yet what I will, but what you will. And in verse 37, it says, and he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so Jesus is praying, but his disciples are exhausted. They're tired. There's been a lot emotionally going on. I think they're physically exhausted, and they are not able to pray for spiritual strength during what's going to happen in the next time. And then verse 39, it says, and again he went away and prayed, praying the same words. And so Jesus prayed a second time, the same words. And verse 40 says, and again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And so they, in their weakness, were completely unable to watch and pray with Jesus. They couldn't support him, and they couldn't pray for God's strength for themselves. Verse 41 says, and he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And so here we find that Peter and James and John, all the disciples, three times are unable to stay awake and pray with Jesus. And we're going to find in our next lessons, three times Peter denies Jesus. But it speaks to the weakness of human flesh. On our own, we can't do anything. We know that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do anything that's good. And it makes us think of what Paul wrote in Romans 7 about, you know, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that's our human condition. We don't do anything on our own or of value for God. It's only in the power of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus within us, that we are able to do anything that pleases God or is of what he wants. But I think probably, again, Jesus warned them to watch and he warned them to pray. And prayer is a very good thing for helping give us the strength to what we need to do. We find here at the end here, it says, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See my betrayer as be at hand. And so Jesus has settled things with the Father. He's submitted his life and the next hours to the Father's will. He's going to the cross. He will bear our judgment and sin, and he will overcome. And so it's as good as done. But we'll find as we go out through the rest of the mark exactly some of what that looked like. Judas, the betrayer, is here. He comes and betrays Jesus, and then the rest of the events are set in place. As we consider this time, I think probably the lesson for us as believers is to think about and prepare ourselves for whatever God might have us come to suffer. And knowing his word and being in prayer, I think, does prepare us for times when we aren't in control of what's going on. But we do trust God, and we know that through Jesus Christ, he's overcome sin and death and anything that can harm us. And so we go into any difficulty knowing Jesus is with us, and our future is certain in heaven.
Connie, thank you so much for this lesson. And again, the lesson notes are on our website. Nancy and I will be back to talk about this in just a moment.